Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Praise God forevermore. Wow, glory to God. Well, what do I say? I don't know what to say again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just go to the Bible. Hallelujah. Go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, I'll read from verse, I think it's 13. Sorry, from verse 3 to 15. Luke chapter 8 from verse 3. Or, you know what, go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 verse 26, let's start from there. Luke chapter 1 from verse 26. Luke chapter 1 from verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Next verse. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, the descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Next verse, go on. The angel went to her and said, greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Tell your neighbor, do not be afraid. Tell another neighbor, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. Hallelujah. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to have that testimony. I want you to read this verse in Amplified Contemporary Version. Amplified Contemporary Version. For no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. Give me to me the Amplified AMPC. AMPC. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God is without power or impossible or fulfillment. No word from God is without power or impossible for fulfillment. In other words, if God says something, nothing can stop it from being fulfilled except you don't believe it. Hallelujah. We're talking about the word of God today again. And this series is titled Victory by the Word. And what I want to do today is to show us how to bear fruit with the word of God. Now, God depends on us to bear fruit for him. In Romans chapter 7, the Bible said that we are dead by the law. We are dead to the law so that we can be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, so that we can bear fruit for him. Bear fruit for him. So God wants us to bear fruits for him on this earth. He wants us to bear fruit that we confirm his power. He wants us to bear fruit that we confirm his wisdom. And he wants us to bear fruit that we confirm his character. But the vehicle through which he produces that in our life is the word of God. It's the word of God. The angel told Mary that no word from God can ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. Why is that? Jeremiah said it this way. He watches over his word to perform it. So has God spoken something to you? Have you heard God say something to you? It will come to pass. Hallelujah. The devil wants to tell you a lie that it's not happening, it's not working, that you are going to make you feel like, man, you are not going to experience what God has said. But I can tell you this, if it's God that said it, believe it. Tell your neighbor, believe it. Believe it, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. There is no word from God that will ever fail. No word from God that will ever fail. Hallelujah. God's word is the vehicle through which he accomplishes things in the earth. He sends his word and heal them and deliver them from all destruction. So his word is so powerful. His word is so powerful that if you believe it and keep believing it, you will see it bear fruit in your life. So what I want to do today is to show us the mechanism of God bearing fruit through us with his word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's quickly go to John chapter 1, verse 14. The first point I want to make here is that the word of God is convertible. The word of God is convertible. I don't put it this way. The word of God is convertible currency. How many of you know that heaven has currency? Heaven has currency. And the currency of heaven is God's word. Let me break it down for you. You know, dollar is now getting stronger and stronger, not just against Naira, but against all currencies. I hope you know that dollar is more valuable than euro right now. Before it was the other way around. But dollar is more valuable than euro. So imagine if you have a stack of $1 million in your house, cash. A stack of $1 million. The Nigerians are too sharp, but $1 million in your house. But you want to buy food to eat and you don't have any naira. And you take it to one woman in the market and say, give me with $10. The Nigerians are too sharp, but they don't know what dollars is. Give me a pinter of garri. Give me a pinter of rice. And you're with $100 bill. And giving the woman that doesn't know what dollar is, she will say, God forbid, take your money and go. Because she doesn't understand what dollar is. But imagine this. If you go to Aboki and say, take this $100 and give me naira. How much would that be now? Is this 735, right? That's 100. Back to that woman. How much is one pinter of garri? How much is one pinter of? Because what you have actually, because it was not convertible then, it was not converted, it could buy the whole bag of garri. But the woman didn't want to give you one pinter of garri because it was a currency that she didn't understand. God's word is currency in heaven. And you know that what makes a currency strong is the economy. And there is no currency as strong as heaven's economy. And if you get heaven's money and you can convert it to naira money, you know you'll be a big man. You know what I'm saying? Get what I'm saying? God's word is convertible. And we bear fruit. When it means that we bear fruit, it means that we've converted the word of God and it has become flesh in our lives. In John chapter 1 verse 14, the Bible says, the word became flesh. Hallelujah. The word became flesh. Let me put it this way. The word was converted to flesh. How was it converted to flesh? We read it from Luke chapter 1. The Bible said that an angel came to Mary, a virgin, and said, you are highly favored. When I was preparing this, it struck me for the first time. I never saw it. I thought that it was just because of Mary was a virgin that the word of God came to her. No, not necessarily. But I just it dawned on me for the first time that when you are favored by God, he will give you his word. Hallelujah. So if you live a life that God is, you don't have favor with God. In other words, the angel came to him because she had found favor with the Lord. Hallelujah. Give to her, sorry. Because she has found favor with the Lord. In other words, because she found favor with the Lord, and I don't have time to go into why she found favor with the Lord, but she found favor with the Lord. As a result of that, the word came to her. And the word came to her. The angel said that, see, you, you're a small girl, but right now you're going to be a big woman very soon because the pikin that you will born, his kingdom will have no end. He's going to be a king and his kingdom will have no end. In the East here, we know what they call Mama Father. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. They are even as respected as the fathers themselves. In other words, because they are the mothers of the Reverend Father. And this Reverend Father I'm talking about now. So, you can imagine that kind of honor. I come from a Catholic background, so I understand it. The celebration when they are ordaining a young boy as priest in the village is a big deal. Why? I don't know. But but this one was saying, like, this small girl is going to give birth to a child that will be the king of the whole world, that his kingdom will have no end. What was the angels giving her? Words. Words. But what Mary received was what? The currency of words. But she knew how to translate it from the word and made it flesh. John chapter 1. How did the word become flesh? Through Mary. But John chapter 1 verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, every promise from God to you is seeking manifestation. I'll say that again. Every promise from God, let me break it down. Every promise from the scripture that God has revealed to you or God has spoken to you is seeking for manifestation. But you have to walk with the word for it to manifest in your life. And that's what I want to show us today. How to walk with the word so that it can manifest in our life. How to walk with the word so that it can manifest in our life. The word of God is convertible. Never forget that. But the key to converting it is faith. To convert it from the word currency to your own currency. So if God gives you a word, he has given you, I don't know what the exchange rate will be in natural, but anything that you desire, basically. Based on the word that he has given you, that thing that he has spoken concerning it, the exchange value is what he has said. Hallelujah. In your real term. So when God gives you a word, you need to convert it. And to convert the currency, or to value any currency, or to experience, to even have the energy to go and convert the currency, you need to have faith in three things. Let me put it in. To convert God's word as a currency, you need to have faith in God's word. You need to have faith in the conversion process. And you need to have faith in the currency itself. The reason why the dollar is so valuable is because a lot of people have faith in the dollar. That's why it's so valuable. Because if they don't have faith in the dollar, the countries that don't have faith in the dollar, their currencies are not moving. So people like Russia, they don't send you. They're not moving, seriously. So the currency is not fluctuating against the dollar like that. Countries don't have faith in the dollar. But because they have faith in the dollar, dollar will always be valuable to you, and you always get more value from it. Why? Because you have faith in it. So there are three things that you need to have faith in if you are going to experience God's word converting into your reality. The first one is have faith in the word of God generally. What does it mean to have faith in the word of God? It means that you have faith, not in the word that God spoke to you, but generally on the authority of the word of God. On that, if God says something, that God is king. If God says something, he is able to bring it to fruition. You have faith in that. That, see, and your faith is practical. Let me put it this way. Your faith is very practical. If you believe that if God speaks, things will change. When you have a situation come over your life, what will you do? You go and look for what God said. Am I correct? That is what your faith in the word of God, I'm talking about, faith in the word of God, in God's word. Every single one of us have to have faith in God's word. Even if you don't know what God has said, what did God say? What did God say? If God says it, it's okay. That faith in God's word starts with you saying, God, whatever you say is okay. I remember when Kenneth Hagin said that. He was on the sick bed, and he had read the Bible before, but he was in the sick bed then. Then he came to a point where he was bedridden for some time. Then he said, okay, now God. He made a commitment to God that this Bible, I'm going to read it. And anything I see on it, anything I see in it, I will believe it. He had not seen anything yet. But what I'm trying to describe is that faith in the word of God. Because the reason why many people, many Christians, when they have situations, they go and pursue other things, like all sorts of things, basically. Let me not call what they are. They go and pursue other things, and not first of all go to the word, is because they don't have faith in the word of God. They don't have faith that if they read in the Bible, they will see something, and that thing can come to pass, that thing can change their life. So Kenneth Hagin said that, see, God, I made this commitment to you. I'm going to read it. Anything I see that I understand, I will believe it and I will act on it. So he started reading, and he got to Mark 11, from verse 20. And it was where Jesus told them, cause the fig tree. And he came to the place where whosoever shall say to this mountain, be that removed and be that cast into the sea, but not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he said will come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. So I said to you, whatever thing you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you will have it. He read it and he believed it. And he said, okay, I believe that I'm healed. I say I am healed. I've prayed. I desire it. Therefore, I have it. Then a thought came to him. This woman was bedridden for one year, six months. He was bedridden for 1.5 years. He had never been able to walk. And the reason why he was not able to walk, because he had a heart disease. He had a blood disease. He had several things. He became paralyzed. He took that scripture. He was 17 then, I think. He took that scripture and he was thinking about the scripture and he thought about it. If I am healed, because he was saying, I'm healed. He talking to him, if I am healed, why am I still on the bed? If I'm healed, what do children my age do by this time? He said, they're outside playing. So, okay, I'm going to go outside to play. He stood up from the bed and he said, immediately he put his leg on the ground, something like electric went through his body and he stood and came up. Since then, and you know what? That same word he saw formed his ministry. For how many years he was preaching, from the age of 19 to the age of 75, they died. I can't remember. He was preaching Mark 11:23. If you listen to McKenhagen, you know him as Mark 11:23. One word from God changed his life. Because he decided, first of all, that God, if I see anything in your word, I will believe it. So that's the first thing. If you want to convert God's word, you must esteem. Let me move fast. I have a lot to say. Let me move fast. You must esteem God's word. Secondly, you must have faith in the process. It's the process I want to share with you today. In the process, you must have faith in the process to convert God's word from heavenly currency to local currency. You get what I'm saying? You must have faith in the process because it takes a process. In Mark chapter 4, there were some parables. I'm going to cover one of the parables, but one of the parables said that the kingdom of God is like this, as a man that casts seed into the ground. And he goes and he sleeps and he wakes up. Day and night, sleeps and wakes up. And the seed all of a sudden starts sprouting. And the man doesn't know how. First, he comes with the blade or something like that. Then he fails with the stalk, then the blade, then the full corn in the head. Then the harvest is ready, then he plucks it out. And that's a process. There's a process through which the word of God can become flesh in your life. But the problem is that some people believe that if God says it, it is done. But a lot of people don't believe the process. Because if you believe the process, you will stick to the process. Am I communicating? If you believe something will work, you will stick to it. The reason why people invented things is because they believe it will work. Let me say it again. The reason why someone would be, people invent, let me use the light bulb, Thomas Edison. The reason why he stuck to it is because he believes with all his heart that light bulb will be manufactured. So he was trying different things. You will not give up, say it's not working. You will keep doing. The reason why we are flying today is because some boys, brothers said that, okay, man can fly. Do you know what it is to believe that man can fly on the air, suspend in his time? Not that I've seen planes flying. But then there was nothing moving above the air apart from birds. Then these two boys believed that the man can fly. They believed it with all their heart. They kept working at it until they saw a man fly. In other words, your belief will bring your reality. But you need to believe the process also, because it's not just going to happen the first time you try. Hallelujah. So you must have faith in the process. Faith in the process. Let me just tell you something. I woke up this morning, I had a dream. I woke up around 2 a.m. I had a dream. A very weird dream. And the thing puts weight on me. Like I said, oh, what kind of dream is this one? What kind of dream made me feel helpless? Not about me. I was with somebody. He was a very funny dream. I was with somebody that they were oppressing seriously and I couldn't do anything about it. I felt very, I said, come to this one. I said, what do you mean by this? And I came out. What did I do? I started praying in the spirit. Started speaking God's word. As I was speaking God's word, from the inside of me, strength started coming out because the dream sapped my energy. I don't know if you've ever dreamed that kind of dream. You wake up and just sap all your energy. As I was speaking God's word, strength came upon my body, came upon me. See, let me just tell you the truth. What I'm teaching right now came to me in 5 minutes after that process. So I'm saying to you that if the enemy comes against you, you must believe the process that, see, if I keep on speaking the word, I will see the word manifest. Hallelujah. So you must believe the process. Then also you must believe the one that he told you. In other words, he told you that, see, you are going to do this, you are going to do this. The one has told you this, that you are going to start a business, and the business is going to grow and become an influence in that industry. The word of God spoke that to you. You must believe that also. Those three areas you must believe. You must believe God's word. That means you must believe God. You must believe the process. And this process I want to show you today, and I'll show you from the parable of the sower. Quickly go to, because of time, let us read Mark. Quick, Luke. Which one should we read? Mark or Luke? Which one should we read? Mark or Luke? Mark, okay, people say Mark, okay. Let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 4. So I want to take a 5-stage process for the word of God to manifest in your life. 5-step process for the word of God to manifest in your life. Mark chapter 4. Again, verse 1. He said, again, he began to teach by the lake, and the crowd gathered around him, and he was so large. Let's go to verse 5. So verse 3, sorry. He said, listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and he scattered, as he was scattering the seed, some fell among the paths, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, and it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plant, so that they did not bear grain. Still, other fell on the soil. It came up and grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100. Going further down to verse 13, it says, don't you understand this parable? How then we understand other parables? The farmer sows the seed. The farmer sows the word, sorry. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away. Let me just be explaining it. So basically, the first stage for you to get the word becoming flesh in your life, the first stage of this process is that you... Sorry, give me a minute. The first stage is that you esteem his word above every other thing in order to receive it. If you want to get the word of God concerning any situation, you must esteem his word above every other situation. Esteem his word above every other situation. That's what Jonah discovered in the belly of the whale. He was in the belly of the whale 3 days, and everything was dark. Everything was looking like, man, no hope again. But he remembered, the Bible said, that he looked up to the Lord, the temple of the Lord, and he got some strength. Then he made this statement that you should never forget. Never forget this statement. He said that they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. What are lying vanities? The belly of the whale was dark. Everything looked hopeless. Everything looked like nothing's going to change. But what Jonah called those things were a lie. It's a lie. I am feeling feverish. It's a lie. I don't have money in my bank account. It's a lie. It's a lie. I cannot do this. It's a lie. What you don't have is the word. Because if the word says it, then what is true? Every other thing is a liar. He says, they that forsake lying vanity, observe lying vanities, then forsake their own mercy. Guess what? Bible doesn't use words carelessly. The word forsake means that I am offering you something and you refuse it. Or I gave you something and you abandoned it. Am I correct? In other words, I'm offering you mercy and you refuse it. Well, how do you refuse it? How do you refuse the mercy that God is offering you in every situation that you are facing? It's by you observing the lies instead of the truth of the word of God. So you must esteem God's word to receive it. Because of time, I'm just going to tell you things. You can go and read it in the book of Luke. See, in the book of Luke, the first set of people are people that when they heard the word, the Bible says they trampled it. That is why the devil could steal it. They trampled it. They didn't think of it as something important. Some people are listening to me right now. Say, all these pastors, they are preaching. They are preaching all their things again. Let us preach and go. Let us do and go home. The word I'm preaching to you can change your life forever. But because you think it's just one of those things, the devil will come and steal the word. That's what the Bible says. Stole the word from them. So the word of God was never even sown in the first place. The first thing that you must do, you must always esteem the word. Whenever you come to hear the word of God, you're waiting to hear God, not man. They're coming to God, I want to hear you today. I know that you're going to speak through this man. Or I'm opening the Bible, Holy Ghost, I want to hear God. I want to hear God. Because God's word will change my life. God's word will make things happen for me. I want to hear the word of God. You have to have that esteem for God, God's word, to receive God's word. That's the truth. If you don't esteem God's word like that, he will not give it to you. In James chapter 1, I think it's verse 20 or thereabout. He says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with humility the word of God that is able to save your soul. In other words, it takes you being humble enough to say, God, your word is all I need. If you give me your word, I will use it. Hallelujah. That mindset is what made the people that moved from wayside to the rocky ground. Let me say this here because I didn't say it in the beginning. When you read the parable of the sower, it is not categorizing people, it's categorizing hearts. It's not categorizing people, it's categorizing hearts. And every person can either have any of the hearts at different times. So today you can have a good soil heart. Tomorrow you can have a big wayside heart. It depends on what you do. And that's what I'm trying to show you. Because that's what's going to make the word of God life in you. So the first stage, receive the word of God by esteeming the word of God above every other thing. That's the first stage. When you have that mindset, when you have that attitude, you then come to the second stage, which is to rejoice over the word that has come to you. Rejoice over the word that has come to you. What the Bible said about the people that fell on the rocky soil? Two things he said. From Mark, he said they had no soil. The other one said they had no root and moisture. So what happened was this. When they received the word, if you receive the word with humility, the sign is that you will be happy at the word. You will be joyful at the word. But as you go along the way, that is the first process. Be joyful about the word. But situations will come and test that word. Situations will come and test that word. The Bible says that the ones on the rocky soil, when the sun came out, it was hot and the sun shriveled them. Is it because the sun was hot? No. It's because they had no roots in them. They had no roots in them. In other words, they should have been joyfully use that joy when they receive the word to keep ingraining the word in their heart through rejoicing about that word, confessing that word as your reality. For instance, God says that by his stripes I'm healed. You are rejoicing that God has healed you. But don't just rejoice there. When the pain comes back again, you are saying, God, I thank you for you have healed me. Because the Bible says, by your stripes, I am healed. By the stripes, I am healed. Because as you are doing that, what you are doing is internalizing the word inside you. Because the word will not bear fruit in your life if it has not entered into your heart. The word will not bear fruit. Tell your neighbor, the word will not bear fruit in your life if it has not entered into your heart. It has to enter into your heart. And it's through your confessions, through you speaking that word, that you will enter into your heart. But that's not the end of the process. There's not yet gotten fruit yet. So, first of all, you receive the word with humility. Second, you rejoice at the word, confessing the word with joy, until it enters your heart. When the sun comes up, and the Bible calls the sun trials and tribulations that come up as a result of the word. Trials and tribulations are not strange things to Christianity. It's a lie when somebody prophesies to you that you will never face any challenge again in your life. It's a lie. It's not what God said. I'll say it again. I know people like it. I prophesy to you, you will never face any challenge in your life again. People shout, amen. That means the word of God will never bear fruit in your life again. That's what they're saying. I'm telling you the truth. Because trials and tribulations come by virtue of the word you received. To test if you believe what you said. And do you know the thing about trials and tribulations? They actually release the energy for the word to bear fruit. If you can only stay, keep your joy. The Bible says that we are part of Jesus' house. If we hold our confidence and rejoicing up to the end. The end is the manifestation. It's not when I'm tired. It's not when it doesn't seem it's working. The end is when I see it happen. You hold on to it. Confessing it, rejoicing over it. Whenever you feel a sun symptom, you rejoice over the word that you heard. In other words, whenever something comes to you to make you feel that the word is not going to work, you say, this is the reason why it's going to work. As a matter of fact, the litmus test that the word of God is working in your life, that you have trials to test the word of God in your heart. That's the truth. Because if you've not received the word, trials won't come. The Bible says this in the parable of the sower, that the word, the sun came up, trials and tribulation, as a result of the word. So, I don't want trouble and trials and tribulation. Please don't give me word again, Lord. I don't want any word again. I don't want a word from you. But unfortunately, you're in the world that is occupied by the devil. So if you say, I don't want any word from you, then the devil will still give you trials and tribulation for free because he likes it like that. But if you have the word, at least you can utilize the trials and tribulation and overcome it with the word of God. So the word of God, let me move quickly. So the first step is, first of all, esteem the word of God above every other thing. Esteem the word of God to receive it. Humbly receive the word of God that's able to save you. Secondly, rejoice. The Bible said that the people that are on the rock said that people that rejoiced at the word. But when trials came, it was shriveled because it had no root in them. So basically, in internalizing the word in your heart, you would be able to navigate through trials when that come at the result of the word. The third stage is persevering speaking. What do I mean by persevering speaking? Remember, receive the word, esteeming it above every other thing else. Second, you rejoice at the word that you've received something great. You know, David said it. Was it David or Job? I can't remember now. He said, I rejoice at your word like one that has found a great spoil. A great spoil. Do you know what a great spoil? When a warrior says, I got a great spoil. That kind of spoil that you take you 3 days to pack. In other words, when I went to battle and I conquered, and then I carried a lot of treasures from that the people I conquered from. That's a great spoil. David said, I rejoice like that at that word when I found, as if I found a great spoil. In other words, rejoice at the word as if you've already gotten the victory. At the word, because the word guarantees your victory if you hold on to it. I get what I'm saying? So hold on to the word. Then, but if you think that the word of God is going to produce overnight, most times you'll be mistaken and the devil will deceive you. Because the next thing that the devil does, is that he will bring distractions your way. So you need to persevere. You need to persevere. 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 What does it mean to persevere? Stay with it. Tell your neighbor, stay with the word that God has given you. Don't give up. Stick to it. Don't give up. Even if you're not confessing it every day, anytime you think about it, say it. Again, what I'm saying? Just say it. Like it is. I am this. You need to say who you are in the word of God. If you don't know, let me say it again. You need to say who God has shown you are in the word of God. If God says you are healed, you need to say that you are healed. The Bible says, he said, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. Well, let me start from verse 5. Let your life be free from the love of money and be content in the things that you have. For God himself has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. The end there, no, so that you can boldly say also, the Lord is my helper. I will have no fear. What can man do to me? In other words, when God says, it's for you to say also. Say what God has said and keep saying it. Even if you're not confessing it, like, you have to wake up and bring a confession. Not confessing. It's good to do that. It's good, very good to do that. Confessing. Even if you're not confessing it like that, just have this mindset. Whenever any thought comes to my mind contradicting what God has said, I will say what God has said. And that is what it means to persevere in confessing. Stay there consistently. Watch your thoughts. If your thoughts are going like it's not going to happen, say it's going to happen. Sometimes you might need to shout it out so that it can drown your inner voice. How many people have inner voices here? How many people with their inner voices are supporting them? Inner voice doesn't support you. Inner voice will tell you, see, you're lazy now, you're lazy. Don't bother yourself. People like you don't succeed. It's inner voice. But you need to silence that inner voice with your own words, saying what God has said about you. I will get this thing, whether they like it or not. God is amazing. I remember when God gave me a word. I thought I was going to deliver my life. And he delivered my life indeed. But it didn't happen like I thought. An opportunity came up all of a sudden. And I was happy that the opportunity had come. I was happy that this is the confirmation of the word. But unfortunately, as I attempted the opportunity, I failed in the opportunity. I felt that God had failed me. But God be merciful. I have this attitude. Whenever I feel that God failed me, I will go back to God and say, God, did you fail me? Honestly, it's an attitude I have. Whenever I think that God has failed me, I go back to God and say, God, did you fail me? I trust that you won't fail me. You know, sometimes I sing some songs that you have never failed me yet. Sometimes the devil will say, I say he has not failed you yet. He will tell you something. I say, no, he has not failed me yet. Because I have experiences where something went bad and it turned around for my good. Let me use an example. My wedding, I got married in the grandest hotel in Asaba as at that time. My wife wanted to get married there, but I didn't have the money. But the word of God has said that if we desire, we should ask. So I told my wife, let's ask God. And we asked. Did I believe it was going to happen like that? Not necessarily so. But we just said, okay, what can we do first? Why are we looking for that one? If the money don't come, we're doing this one. So we paid for a place that our money could afford, which was like twice what the other place was. So we had the good attitude. Just, okay, no problem. Even though we believe God for that place, we can't get that place. So no problem. We marry all the same. But don't ever take that situation that turns bad as a sign against you. It's a sign for you. So a day to my wedding, I went to the place and they had given it out to somebody. I saw some people decorating that, not my people. I said, what is happening here? They had given out the place on that place and given me one cubicle. He says, I'm sorry, a bigger people with bigger money gave them money and they bad business. I was angry. Oh, hey, I said, God, what am I going to do? Tomorrow is wedding. Nowhere to go. I said, God, help me. God, help me. But God was already helping me. Without me knowing, somebody called the owner of the hotel. The owner of the hotel was not in Asaba. The owner of the hotel was in Lagos. Called the owner of the hotel and said, I know somebody that is getting married. They're supposed to get married in your hotel. Your hotel people disappointed the person. The big man, wherever he was, the man was a minister. The big man, wherever he was, called the people in the hotel and said, you disappointed somebody and I don't want you to disappoint the person. Find another hotel, another venue that is as good as our hotel. But unfortunately, a day to Saturday is hard to find venue in Asaba. The only venue that will be available are the expensive venues. The cheap venues, no day. Interestingly, the only venue that was available was the hotel that my wife wanted to get married to. It was in Grand Hotel. I said, what? They carried money, added double, and went to pay Grand Hotel for us to get married in Grand Hotel. The word of God is powerful. If you can only, even if you don't confess it every day, just confess and see good things are happening to me because I believe God. So, it's very important. Don't give up because of trials. But you need to persevere in it. Because even if you overcome a trial, it doesn't mean that the word of God, you know, sometimes you use things that way. If I overcome this trial, destiny will manifest. It doesn't always happen like that. Sometimes it happens like that, but it doesn't always happen like that. It will take some time again. But you need to persevere in confessing. What I'm describing to you is how to be a good heart that produces the word of God consistently. The next thing that he's going to do is that he will distract you with three things. And this is where many people fail in the word of God. He will distract you with three things. One, worries about this life. Worry. Tell your neighbor, if you are worrying, you are giving up your rights. Tell your neighbor that. If you are worried, you are giving up your rights. What the enemy does is to bring things that will make you worried that it's not going to work, or maybe worried about, okay, now maybe I'm believing God for a big contract. All of a sudden, the small one I'm having, it stops. That is trial. The person stopped giving me business. It stops. And I want to pay school fees. I don't even have money to pay school fees. How am I going to be believing for this big one? You get what I'm saying? That's how it is. I'm telling you real life. I'm believing God for something big. I'm confessing for something big. The small I'm having, they now take it away from me. That is a trial. Then you overcome it. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Then they call you, you've not paid your children's school fees. Oh. Is it God Almighty? Worries of this life, that is the first thing we test you with. Things of this life that you get you worried will come up. If you pass the test, then things of this life will get you worried, will come up. You are worried about things of this life. Jesus called it the cares about this life, the love of money. The second trick he will use to steal the word from you or stop the word from being productive. Love of money. In other words, I do this thing. At least they're paying me for it. Let me do it. At least I'll get some money now to pay the school fees. Let me just do this thing. It's not something I would like to do, but let me just do it. Love for money, it will distract you. And the want of other things. The word of God is not working as soon as I thought. Maybe I should just switch business. And it's God that told you to start the business. The want for other things. What I'm doing is teaching the word of God. You might not go back and read it. You'll see what I'm talking about. The want for other things. See these three things. Rise up and choke the word that it doesn't bear fruit. So you need to get rid. That's is it the third or the fourth stage? Let me be sure. You need to get rid of all those bushes. But the fourth stage, you need to get rid of the distractions of worry. Get rid of the distractions of the love of money. I want to have money. I want to make money. Get rid of that distraction. Then get rid of the distraction of the desire for other things. Once you can get rid of that, how do you know you've gotten rid of that? You're not moved by money. You're not tempted to do something. You're not moved by temptation to do something against your convictions because of money. You fight worry in your mind. Tell yourself that it's going to work out. You don't shift base. Sometimes people will shift base. Very easy to shift base. Very easy. You are believing God for exceeding abundantly above. All of a sudden you shift to exceeding above. All of a sudden you shift to above. All of a sudden you shift to it just happened now. Anyhow. And you have shifted from exceedingly abundantly above. And God is in exceedingly abundantly above. You have come down to where he cannot reach you. Keep exceeding above. If God has told you exceeding above, keep believing for exceeding above. If make we manage and come, say, I don't want. I'm looking for exceeding above and exceeding above. That's what God spoke to me. Sad story. Lady I know, she's late now, but sad story, very sad story. She believed God right from when I was a kid that she was believing God to get married. That's when I was a kid. She was mature to get married. She was believing God to get married. Believing God to get married. She believed God, believed God, believed God. Marry man, no Greek home. And sometimes I feel, this is just saying it, sometimes I feel that because we are so distracted about a lot of things, that's why the word doesn't produce fast enough. So she was believing God for the marriage, believing God for the man to come, the man to come. Next thing, started going to, from prayer house to prayer house. This over years, going from prayer house to prayer house. And one thief, some preachers are thieves, that's the truth. I'm not lying. This one was a thief. He was prophesy. Even my mom used to go there. So even me as a young boy, I was thinking about it from a sinner's point of view. Not that at that time, I knew it was a thief in that sense that people are letting pastors to deceive you. These obviously used to don't do the right thing. That was my mom then, because she used to go there. The man prophesied one man. Prophesied one man. She was believing God for a special man. Prophesied one man. And lo and behold, the man appeared. But when they were planning the marriage, me, I knew, why are you marrying this man? Me, as I was then. Because the man, he didn't buy a shoe for his wedding. He said, I bought the shoe. I'm telling you the truth. The shoe, a day to the wedding, he didn't have shoe to wear to the wedding. But the prophet saw the man. From being exceedingly abundantly above, you enter the maybe just the manager, maybe just the manager. And when enter with the manager, maybe just the manager, the man killed the woman. I'm not joking. Do not shift base from what God tells you. Two things. Do not extrapolate what God tells you. Do not reduce what God tells you. Stay to what God still told you. And keep believing what God tells you. Sometimes what God tells you seems impossible, but keep believing it. 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 Because if you can stay with it through distractions, through the storm, through challenges, through wants or love of money, through worries, through want for other things, if you can stay with it, you will get to the final stage, which is where the word of God produces. The test that you are about to see the word of God manifest in your life is when you have been tempted, when you have gone through the storm and overcome the storm. And then, all of a sudden, many opportunities that doesn't look like the one that you are expecting from God starts coming your way. It's a test that tells you that, see, the word of God is about to manifest in your life. Don't give up. Don't change that expectation for something else. A lot of times we don't go through this process. Why? Because we don't trust this process. I'm talking to myself also. We don't trust this process. We get God's word. We confess it for 1 month. After 1 month, it doesn't seem to be happening like that. As a matter of fact, things will go bad. You say, I believe that one. This one is going bad. This persecution came because of the word. But after the persecution, we overcome the persecution. The word never showed yet. We continue believing. After some time, 2 months have passed, 3 months have passed, just forget it. There's this girl I know. Not the girl, she's a woman now. She got married while I was still in school. She was a friend of mine. We're classmates, I think. In the same year, or maybe I was a year above her. She got married while I was still in school, so she was married for a long time. For a long time. She had been looking for baby. Looking for baby for a long time. She gave birth, I think her son is like 2 years old now. I finished school in 2005. Her son is 2 years old. How many years is that? So, she was believing God. She actively believed God. Actively believed God. When she gave birth, I had to do a Zoom call. So I said, come and tell me what happened. Come and tell me. She said this, that the truth is this, that she had confessed and confessed and confessed and confessed and confessed. Then she stopped confessing. But what was happening? She knew that people were looking at her somehow, but she was just fighting that emotion. But she now went from that place of sub-confession. Then she now said, okay, I'm not, see, that my child has not come. And so, should I start feeling shy because people are looking at me somehow? She overcame that one. When she overcame that one, then she entered into numbness. I'm focusing on other things. But I noticed something. She never got to the point where she thought that she's not going to have a child. In her, see that once in a while, it just comes to my mind, her mind, that you won't have a child. She said, no, I'll have a child. She'll continue what she's doing. Maybe after 3 months, a thought, a pressure will come on her. She said, I'll have a child. Years had passed. But she was still believing that God would give her a child, even though she was not actively believing. Because sometimes we think that it's when we're actively confessing it that it is working. When we stop actively confessing it, it stops working. What makes your confession stop working is when you start confessing something else apart from that confession. Let me say it again. What makes what you have said not work is when you start saying something contrary to what you have said. Let me say it again so you can hear it. What makes what you have said not work is you saying something else that is contrary to what you have been saying. In other words, this thing is going to happen. You stop saying that. Even if it doesn't happen, let this one happen. You've countered that one. I get what I'm saying. Please get what I'm saying. Because sometimes the word of God doesn't appear all of a sudden. Sometimes God told me something some time ago. I'll end with this. That an instant miracle is a process. I said, how? Instant miracle. You prayed. It didn't happen immediately. He said it's a process. He said, that's instant. If it's instant, it's not a process. But God says it's a process. I said, why is it a process? He said, I live in eternity. And I don't observe time in eternity. Sometimes to make someone or get someone in the place to believe in a certain way, I will shrink time to milliseconds and it appears immediately. But that is an exception. I said, serious. Because any great thing you want to do for God, it takes a process. Ask yourself, who has built anything great without a process? A healing appearing instantly is nothing compared to building a great business. So, for a great business, God will not shrink the process. He will go through the process because it's something great. But little things, what the Bible said about healing is the children's bread. It's the children's bread. So healing instant, he can shrink the process for purpose of his love. But some other time, even in healing, you will have to stand your ground and say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Go to him in mercy. Say, God, if I'm missing it anywhere, because sometimes you are missing it also, that's why it's not happening. Go to him, if I'm missing it anywhere, please show me. No, in this experience I had. Let me end this experience I have. I'll end this time around. Once we were believing God for finances, and I had a scripture I was confessing. And I confessed it to the point. You know when you confess the word of God until the point that the knowing just dawns on you. The knowing dawns on you. And you know that it's gonna happen. And I somehow felt, let's say on Friday, it's going to happen by Friday. It's not every time I feel like that. Sometimes I confess, I don't feel anything like that, but it still happens. But this time I confess, and I just knew it was going to happen on Friday. And on Friday, came. It didn't happen. I said, what is this? I must be missing it somewhere. I went to go and go in prayer. I'm teaching on prayer in midweek services, and it's good. I want you to join it. Prayer. I know the power of supplication. So I went to God in supplication. I said, God, I know that this money has come, but I don't know why I'm not getting it yet. Please show me why I'm not getting it. Something in my mind said, ask somebody. I was fighting it because when I came to start the church, I said, I'm not going to ask anybody for money. If you're going to provide money, and trust me, to run church is money. If you don't know, no now. To run church is money. I tell you, the cost of this unbelievers prayer convention, you say what? But we believe God, so we're believing God. I said, I'm not gonna ask anybody for money. But something came to my mind. Ask somebody for money. Ask somebody for the money. It was not but consistently, because I went, I come to God for mercy. If I'm missing it anywhere, just tell me. I said, okay. Ask somebody for money. I said, my mind, I said, no, I can't ask anybody for money. God will provide. God is a good God. I don't need to ask anybody. God will provide. It's a bigger miracle if I don't ask. Ask somebody for money. After some time, after 2 days, with ask somebody for money coming in my mind every time. I said, okay, God, now I want you to ask. I don't mind asking, please. Who am I going to ask? I heard somebody's name. I discounted that person's name. I started saying, maybe I should ask this person. Maybe I should ask. One of them is jailed in my heart. That person's name kept on coming. The thing about the person there, the person had been giving tremendously since we started church, because it was early days of the church. She had been giving abundantly, generously. So I felt that without me asking her, I felt that if I ask her, it's me taking advantage of her. So I said, God, asking this lady, I don't know how I'm going to ask her. She has been too generous. Let it not be I'm not taking advantage of her. But God has told me to ask somebody, and I knew that was in, I should ask her. So I told God, this is what I'm going to do. I will draft an SMS. And the SMS, if you have been in this church for a while, I've told this testimony before. For an SMS, the SMS I wrote, I'm just telling you about this thing. I'm not saying that you should give anything. I said that. I'm not saying that you should give anything. But I'm just telling you that we have this need. If you don't feel in your heart to give, please don't give. Why? Because I didn't want to take. I feel like it was just me testing. Say, God, let me just be like, if I heard you right, let me just do it. I sent it in the morning. By afternoon, she didn't send. By evening, she didn't reply. I said, God, you have embarrassed me finally. Honestly, I said, God, you have embarrassed me finally. Only that the next morning, I saw an SMS from her apologizing that she was in the bank that Friday that I was expecting the money. Something distracted her. She left the bank and she forgot about it. She was, hey God, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Someone wants to do you good. The devil now orchestrate and deceive the person. The person now left the bank. And you know, when you leave bank, you forget the one that what you were supposed to do. It was 3 days later. So imagine this. If by Thursday, when I was getting the indication, ask somebody, and I sent her a message on Thursday, will I get it on Friday? But because I didn't follow that instinct in my heart, because it was contrary to what I had decided in my mind. A lot of times, the things that God has promised are not coming to pass in your life because He's telling you to do something that you're not used to doing it. The Bible says He will lead the blind in the way that they do not know. Isaiah 42. I will lead the blind in the way that they do not know. In the ways that they have not understood it before. And He was leading me like that. I did not know. Guess what? Imagine this. We're looking for 10 naira. The lady sent 100 naira. We're looking for 10 naira. The lady sent 100 naira. Do you know what I'm saying? The word of God is working, even if you're not seeing it. Sometimes He wants you to make an adjustment in your life. Adjustment the way you see things. Adjustment to how you behave. Some people don't marry not because God has not given them husband, because they have bad behavior. And if they marry without bad behavior, the marriage will break. And they'll say that God gave me the wrong husband because of bad behavior, not because of that God didn't give husband. Bad behavior. So this man said that she had bad behavior in the beginning of her marriage. Imagine if her husband was not a Christian. She would just leave the woman and go. If you have a broken marriage. Do you know what I'm saying? So sometimes you need to make some adjustments in your thinking. Make some adjustments in your behavior. And then you give opportunity for God to bring His word to fruition in your life. So how do we bear fruit to the word? We are esteeming the word above every other thing. Number one, that's the first stage, to receive it. Then you rejoice at God at the word that you received. Rejoice. Keep rejoicing. The difference between the first guys and the second guys is that they didn't receive it. And when they received it, they did not esteem it. They didn't rejoice. So that the devil stole the word of God. Then, but they rejoiced. But when troubles came, instead of you giving up on it, keep rejoicing. That way you are internalizing it. Keep rejoicing. The more you pass the test, now start persevering in it. It is God that knows times and seasons. Man don't know times and seasons. Let me say it again. Jesus said it like this in Acts chapter 1. It is not for you to know the times and the seasons the Father has placed in his own authority. So you can be there thinking that God is going to do it in 5 years. He will do it tomorrow. But you can be there thinking that God is going to do it tomorrow. He will do it in 5 years then. What is your responsibility? Hold fast your confidence and rejoicing firm until the end. The battle of the mind is a fierce battle. But if you can win that battle, you will overcome. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.